Well, we are in our third week of this series called Fruit of a Living Faith, where we are walking through John chapter 15 and where Jesus is teaching his disciples about what it means to continue being his disciples even after Jesus goes on. And so we're walking through this, what it looks like to be connected to Christ. And before we jump back into the scriptures and we read through the couple that we've walked through and then look at the ones for today, this past week as I was getting some work done and quite honestly feeling a little bit overwhelmed, the battery on my computer died. Have you ever had that happen? Yeah, it's only when you need it the most that technology doesn't work, right? Like I only run out of paper when I have to print, right? The roof only leaks when it rains. And so it only seems to happen. And so I took it in to have it looked at, and I was like, what are we going to do? And like, well, we can't replace it in here, so we'll have to actually send it off. And they were like, do you need it right now? And I was like, oh my gosh, I need it right now. What are you going to do? And they were like, well, it'll go off for 2 or 3 days and maybe 5 days. You know, we don't really know. We don't even really know what happens after we mail it, is essentially what they said. And I was sitting there, and I was looking at it. I had to make a decision in the moment, and I kind of smiled to myself, and I said, take it. Right? I was like, take it. And I walked out of there with this sense of freedom. Right? I walked out of this with this leaving it behind, with this desire to be cut off. And I was thinking through this imagery of the vine, and we look in John 1 or John 15, and we look at verses 1-2, and it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Moving on to verse 2, it says, he removes any of my branches that don't produce fruit, and he trims any branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. Verse 3 says, you are already trimmed because of the word I have spoken to you. And I reminded you of, I believe it was Fred Craddock, but the quote that I heard that said, it doesn't matter when you're being cut off or cut back, it hurts the same. It's not till later that you know whether you were being cut off or cut back. But the encouragement that we have from John chapter 15 is that, number one, we are not the vine. We are not the vine. Number two, we are not the vine keeper. We are not God. We cannot just make fruit happen even though we try. And sometimes we think the tools that we use, like a computer or whatever it may be, are going to make fruit happen. We think that we can bootstrap our way into whatever it is we are going to do. And one of the hardest things that we can do is to hold on and let God do what God is doing and go where God is saying go. And these are things, if we're being honest, that are just plain hard. And as we were looking at this, we also see and hear an encouragement that we're not the ones who do the trimming. You see, if we're going to be honest, we would really like to be the ones to do the trimming, wouldn't we? Now, sometimes we would like to go ahead and cut ourselves off like I did on Wednesday. We would like to go ahead and cut ourselves off because we've been holding on for too long. And we are tired. And it's hard, right? And sometimes we would like to look around and cut some other people off, right? And after I turned in my computer when I was driving home, I cut less people off, right? Sometimes we would like to be the ones to decide what is and isn't fruit. We would like to be the ones to decide who is and isn't connected to God. We would like to be the ones to decide who is and isn't, who are and aren't doing it right. But that is not our job. And when we begin trimming on our own, we are trying to be God. We are trying to be the divine vineyard keeper. And we are pretending like the vine doesn't know when it's time to drop a branch. But we are the ones who do. I think the first temptation is really to kind of cut ourselves off, that the work is hard and that sometimes even just holding on isn't easy. We'd be better off if we could just kind of coast along and rest. But those branches begin to wither. Maybe it's because we remember a way that we did something and it doesn't work that way anymore. So instead of trying something new in a new phase of life or a new phase of ministry or a new phase of work or a new time in relationship with your spouse or your children or whatever it is, we're just going to keep on doing what we were doing and it's everybody else's fault. And that is convenient. And that is easy. And that will lead to hurt and cut off. And broken relationships, and the future that we don't want because it's not full of the fruit that if we could have held on, if we could have seen what God was doing and trusted God with what God was doing, if we had believed we didn't know better, we might not have ended up in this place. To be honest, I know firsthand that sometimes holding on is all you can do, and that there is a season for that, and there is a time for that. And today we're looking at John 15, verses 6 through 8. And I skipped over 4 and 5. I'm going to share those with you. Pastor Mary Kate did a wonderful job of talking through those last week. I was excited about those verses, so the way that it fell, she ended up getting them. That's how that works. Verse 4 says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." I want you to hear the balm for the heart that is. It doesn't say, bear good fruit. It doesn't say, get it right. It doesn't say, be perfect. It says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Not even around you, not even close to you, but in you. I will be a part of the very fabric of who you are. What I ask is that you do the same for me, so that we become a we. And in us becomes the fruit of a living God and not a dead or cut off one. A branch that can't produce fruit by itself, and now it gets to the part that we're not really comfortable with. We're going to get through it. A branch can't produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Now, we talked about this just a little bit, but I didn't want to step on Mary Kate because I knew she was coming up the next week. But I find encouragement in this. I can't produce the fruit. I can't make it happen. I can be faithful to what I am supposed to do. I can show up when I am supposed to show up. I can do the things that are necessary to get through the day. I try to plan. I try to do everything that I know to do, but ultimately, I can't just make fruit happen. I can't just make good ministry happen. I can't make good quality time happen. We mentioned that just a couple of weeks ago. We learned that with our children. Excuse me. Whenever we try to plan quality time, it usually doesn't go as we planned. Does that make sense? You know, I mean, we get it right like 99.9% of the time, obviously. But whenever we try to force a moment, whenever we have this image of this Norman Rockwell Thanksgiving dinner that we're going to have, the turkey definitely burns, right? Something goes wrong. Somebody can't be there. Somebody gets sick. Whatever it is, when we try to do this. But what I have found in my life is that when we create quantity of time together, when we remain together, quality is a natural byproduct. Now, not all of it. Sometimes there's intense fellowship. But even in those moments of difficulty and in the moments of goodness and sweetness, the moments we never could have planned, those are the moments that we remember and we talk about and we share when we gather as a family for years and years and years. Have you ever gone to a family reunion? Nobody's got new stories, right? If your family's got new stories, they've probably been to jail lately, right? And they're not there to tell them. But we retell the old stories. Sometimes they're a little different. And they get better and better as we tell them, because we learn to tell them better and better. And we incorporate things that it would have been better if that had happened, so we're just going to tell it like it did. Right? And we all know it didn't happen, but it's a beautiful story now. And we love it, and we retell it. Right? Because we can't just make the fruit happen. And at first, that sounds like a frustration. But it's not. It's a beautiful thing and a good thing and a freeing thing, because if we're just remaining in who Jesus is, if we are trying to do our best to be connected like the train down here, if we are trying to stay connected to who God is, whether we can fully understand God or not, but we are trying our best, we're going to bear fruit. It's a part of it. Using the analogy of the vine, we're not responsible for the rain and the sunshine. We can't control that. We can't control the locusts that come through. We can't control what happens. It is up to us to continue staying connected, to use what we do have, and to bear fruit when we can. But ultimately, it's not up to us. And that, my friends, is freeing. Because it turns out that faith is about a relationship with God and with Jesus and with each other, not about getting it right every time. Right? Not about the numbers. Not about whatever it is, a feeling, a certain style of worship, or whatever it might be, right? The point is being connected to Jesus. So that was last week's sermon. You didn't know you're getting 4-1. You're welcome. Verse 6 says, if you don't remain in me, you will be like a branch that is thrown out and dries up. Those branches are gathered up, thrown into a fire, and burned. Now, that's a terrifying image. It's terrifying. We're going to admit that up front. What I hear in this, there's a lot in there, but what I hear in this for us today is that remaining in Jesus means there's a lot at stake. But because it's not just us, right? You see, our fruitfulness, even though it's not our doing, our fruitfulness holds the seeds to the future of the kingdom. You get that? Our fruitfulness, our remaining connected to who Jesus is, to who Jesus is calling us to be, to who we are in Jesus' name together as the most important thing, is not about the fruit, but ultimately that will bear fruit where two or more are gathered. God is there, and that fruit holds the seeds of the kingdom of God for now and for forever. Now, I know that you felt it in your life before. You felt cut off. You didn't know if you were cut back or you were cut off, whatever it might have been. It could have been from the church. It could have been from a relationship. It could have been in your finances. It could have been in anything in your life. You know what it is to feel like there was no hope and you knew it was over and you knew the chickens were going to come home to roost one day. You just hoped it would never actually happen, but it turns out today might be the day. We've been in those moments. And I'm willing to bet that in most of those moments, you found out that you were cut back and not actually cut off. And that the more that you would remain connected to the one who created you and wants to be in connection with you, and the people of God who want to be in connection with you, because that's what Jesus told us to do, we found that we could get on anyway. We found that fruitfulness still happened. We found that our age didn't stop us from ministry, neither our sickness, neither our wealth, neither our location, no matter what it was, that it was always about being connected to who Jesus is. Now, maybe you're like me and you cut yourself off. I've already done my time, something like that, maybe. We find ways of doing that. Of stopping what God could use us for. Maybe it's out of convenience and comfort. You see, as Christians, we really think that God is really all about our convenience and our comfort. You ever turn the air conditioning off at church in the summer? You know how many people come to church? Yeah, not me, right? Comfort, right? My mom quoted to me the other day when I was sharing with her. She quoted to me this quote from C.S. Lewis. I apologize if I shared it with you earlier and don't remember that. But she talked about C.S. Lewis had this writing, and I'm not going to do it justice, so Google it and make sure I said it right. But he said a lot of times as Christians, we pray and we ask for our comfort. But if we were good Christians, we would pray for God to send us to the most desperate outposts. Because that's where the fruit is needed. That's where the people are needed. That's where the mission of God is going. The train doesn't stay in the station. The train goes to the end of the track and keeps building. Another thing that we have to understand too is that fruit takes time to develop. That it doesn't just happen overnight. That sometimes it's years upon years upon years. You know what it's like if you've raised kids. You know how you told them not to do something dumb at least 786 times? And then like one of their friends or another random stranger walks by and tells them not to do that dumb thing. And they're like, oh my gosh, did you hear that super smart person who told me not to do that? I'll never do that again. They are so smart. I should follow them on TikTok. They're wonderful, and mom and dad are idiots, right? And my kids have never thought that at all, obviously. But fruit takes time to develop. And sometimes we get so caught up in the moment that we think that this is the only time and the only way and the only place and the only thing that can bear fruit. And we forget that God is doing something so much bigger. That the sun that is shining and the rain that is coming, it might not be for right now. It might be for that one day, that someday, that gonna be, that fruitfulness that will be, that we want to still be connected to when it comes. And it is. And it turns out we got to be a part of it. We didn't do it. We just held on for dear life, no matter what came, to our faith, to our Jesus, to our family, to our friends, to our church, to whatever it is. And one day we're going to look back and we're going to see what happened. And sometimes that's the only way to see fruitfulness. Sometimes we get to touch it and feel it in the moment, and that is unbelievable. But sometimes it sits in a barrel for several years before anybody else gets to enjoy it. And we think it went barren. We forget. How soon we forget. We're like the people who take the grapes and make the juice and put it in the warehouse, and then we go, why, God, why? Where's the fruitfulness? And God's going, I told you 786 times. It's on its way. You're a part of it. Stay connected to me. Because it's not in your hands. It's in God's hands, the divine gardener. We don't have to know all the answers or even, honestly, and this one gets me, sometimes we don't even get to know what's happening next, right? But it's not a test or a trick or that something that happens out of spite. It's the kingdom of God, and we're not in charge of it. Now, that means for us that we have to do like Mary Kate told us, and we have to abide, which, if I'm going to be honest, I don't even really know what that means. And it doesn't sound like one of my favorite things. I don't abide very well, right? I appreciate that they put those little numerical suggestions along the interstate. But sometimes it's hard to abide. I see things that happen in the world. It's hard to abide. I see things that happen in the church. It's hard to abide. I have things that happen in my family. It's hard to abide. There are times in my life where I look at God and I say, I don't know what you're doing and I don't understand it, and this is hard to abide. But yet I'm called, we as Christians are called to abide in Christ and with one another. And we're there and we follow when the fruit starts showing up. Now, it doesn't mean the journey's easy. It's never really fast. When it is, it's usually smoke and mirrors. Sometimes it's just a straight up blessing. But today, as we are thinking about this imagery of what it means to be the vine, and we want to be the fruitful vine. We want to be the vine that is cut back and trimmed when it needs to be, so that we no longer do something that doesn't bear any fruit just because we really like that branch, right? It was a good branch. 15 years ago, that was an excellent branch. So we're just going to keep it forever, and it doesn't matter if it doesn't bear fruit. The divine gardener cuts that branch off. And you know what we find out? We find out there was a new one waiting that was meant for now. and that will grow for years to come, and that will bear fruit for a kingdom that is even better than the wood we would have managed it down to. Because if I keep all the branches, what do I end up with? I end up with a dead plant, right? But it doesn't mean it's easy. So, my friends, as we go from here today, we are a people who are trying to figure out what abide means. Or I am. You may have gotten it already. You're smarter than me. We are a people who are trying to do what we can to stay connected to Jesus. And we trust that the rest will be fruit. Doesn't mean that it's quick. It doesn't mean that it's easy. But it means that it's faithful. Let us pray. Lord, we love you. We're glad that it's your job and not ours to bear fruit. Oh God, we want to. Forgive us when we take that away from you and we think we can do it on our own. Help us to be a people that learn what it means to abide in you, to trust, to follow, to understand that you are our lifeline, that you are the true vine and the gardener and the sunshine and the rain and the nutrients that we need and all those other things we thought we had to have, we had to control. Maybe they weren't you. Or maybe they were for a while. But Lord, be with us. Help us to be connected to you all the time, everywhere, so that we can be your branches in a world that needs it so badly, in a community that is looking for love and community, and in a world that needs to see your light. Lord, we want to be a part of that, whatever part you need us to be. And we ask for all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.